It's time for ESPN Las Vegas legal insider Justin Watkins with Battleborn Injury Lawyers, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Here, Justin Watkins at the Battleborn Broadcast Center. Alex White is here. It's Cofield. Griffin is back in our Finley Toyota studios. Before we get to a laundry list of good topics we have today, I do have to go. I'll go back to an old topic, and it just shows kind of how the news starts to seep out, and then people have opinions. And I love talking to people, especially on the road and in town when I get a chance. Twice in Reno, I got the same driver. I took a lot of rideshare around Reno. It's very picturesque, a lot of places to go. So twice. One evening and then one midday. And he turned out to be, this is the other thing. I talk to people, I'm like, what is going on here? This guy is like 70-something. He's Czechoslovakian. He's got an accent. He talks about escaping communist Czechoslovakia. He's got this whole story about coming here. I still remember like buying his first car. He came in 83. He bought like a 72 Eldorado. Then he had some kind of giant truck.
You're not going to believe this, but I swear I have had that driver in Reno. Yeah. I'm not kidding you. The exact same dude. He's a bald dude?
He had a hat on, though.
Okay.
Times.
Yeah.
He could be a bald dude.
Yeah.
But he's a freaking spitfire.
Well, and I took him to Carson City, so I got some time with the guy. I heard that whole story, dude. I'm telling you, I've had that rideshare driver. And it's funny up north, you know, if you're trying to catch a ride back from Carson City to Reno to go to the airport, and I'll be there all next week, actually, Carson City. And there's like two drivers. There's like this guy who's got the Subaru. You get the Subaru guy, or you get this Nissan Altima guy. That's what you get. There's only two that are driving around town trying to catch rides. So they don't have the abundance of drivers up there that we do.
So aside from, we had a lot of conversations. We had two rides.
Yeah.
So aside from hearing about his Czech background and, you know, I referenced like, hey, I know someone from, I said, Cofield and Company hosted, a host left and went to Prague. And he's like, oh, you know, I lived in Prague for a while. Anyway, the best convo we had was about the rapper, the 5'3", 489-pound rapper. He had all sorts of opinions on that because he's a rideshare guy. And he was absolutely on the side of like the weight distribution. He could not get off that. He's like, she's too big to put in this car. And it was like a Corolla.
Yeah.
This guy was driving a Corolla and he's like, I couldn't do it. He's like, and he started getting in his whole maintenance record. I'm like, all right.
You know, hey, safety first, right? You got to make sure that the car is able to carry the person in a safe manner and get from point A to point B. We had the conversation about the seatbelt. You know, I was of the opinion if the person could seatbelt in, we're going. I'll give her the ride. So it's interesting some of the things that they have to consider on a daily basis. They get a whole variety of riders and types of people and attitudes and all of that stuff. So, you know, they got a tough job. But like I said, if she could seatbelt in, I'm taking her for a ride.
Yeah, the original story was she felt like she was someone, you know, wouldn't give her a ride. And she now feels like that was, you know, anti-fat, right?
Yep.
So that guy had an opinion. And then I think she went on one of the big New York radio shows. And I think they gave her a rash of crap. I think she complained about the breakfast items at the radio show.
Well,
relax. Relax, lady.
It's funny when you
fruit, okay?
When you started
5'3", 489.
When you started this off by the 5'3 rapper, I thought you were going to be talking about Kendrick Lamar.
No.
I was like, I think he's 5'5".
He's maybe 3 1/4 of her.
Yeah. She's well, then you gave the weight. When you talked about the height was very similar.
Sure. Okay. So, halftime show, Kendrick Lamar. I want to get to the legal aspect of this because we have all these attorneys out in social media who are like, lawsuit. We'll get to that in a second. Did you watch? I reference you as old and white. You're younger than me, right? And I think you're
by a fair margin.
By a lot. By 15 years, basically. Yeah. Did you watch? Did you like it? They did get a record 133.5 million viewers
for this. So, you know, most of the people in my generation, I was talking to a couple of people before this halftime show about their favorite halftime show. And a lot of people that are my age were saying, you know, the Eminem and the 50 Cent and Dr. Dre. I didn't like that one at all. I thought it was like a little bit sad, a little bit old. You know, it wasn't for all sort of generations. I didn't think it was the best one up until this Super Bowl. My favorite was Lady Gaga. I thought she did the best. This was my favorite. Wow. Kendrick Lamar's was my favorite. I thought he knocked it out of the park.
That shocked me.
Me too.
Really?
I thought you might have said you didn't even watch it.
Oh no, I loved it. And I'm not a Kendrick Lamar fan. I've never.
Did you like it because of the music or because it was a protest?
I liked it because of the full artistry of it.
Okay.
I thought the music was really good. I mean, I thought he did a great job live. I thought SZA did a great job live. I thought it all sounded very good. I thought the imagery was awesome. Like, I missed some of it. I was like, oh, is he going Squid Games with this? Is this it looked Squid Games to me. And apparently that's, you know, I mean, I guess it's still open for interpretation, but I guess it had to do with like a Sony PlayStation and Sony being the label and all that stuff. And clearly he did so much imagery and put so much time into the art of it that the internet blew up for hours trying to figure out what he exactly was saying. And I think that's awesome, right? I thought he knocked it out of the park.
Was he defamatory? A lot of people thought beforehand, like, you better change up the song about Drake.
Yeah.
And I think that he altered one thing in it. But a lot of people came out and are like, lawyers are calling. Kendrick, you're in trouble. Let's ask an attorney.
So if he was...
By the way, Drake has already sued, and I think... I don't know if he refiled something else, but...
Drake sued the management company and the label. Okay. You know, he didn't sue Kendrick Lamar, basically, and not saying that what... Not going for defamation, but basically saying that the management company was the management company for both of them, and that the management company sided with Kendrick Lamar in putting this stuff out at his detriment. And if they were his management company, they had just as much obligation to him as they did to Kendrick Lamar. So that lawsuit's a completely different animal. It really has nothing to do with the lyrics. If Kendrick Lamar was doing an interview and said the things that are in that song in an interview and they were false, I don't know if they're false or not, and they were false, that's defamation. Well, if it was recorded in his interview, it'd be libel because it's permanent. But let's just use defamation. It would be defamation. But there are exceptions to defamation for like bona fide artistry. And so songs typically in the court of law do not have to be 100% accurate in order to avoid defamation, because the laws of the United States and Western countries don't want to inhibit artistic development through and enforce it through the sieve of a court system, which will obviously water it all down and sterilize the artistry to the point where it looks like a legal contract, not a song. So I think the answer is no, you won't see it. It is always interesting to me when I hear about, you know, the NFL and Fox told him he wasn't allowed to say certain things that are in that song because they don't want to be sued. And I'm like, dude, it's an album. It's out there. It's being said all the time. You're no different than every radio station that's playing it out there, every album distributor out there. There's no, you don't get more in more trouble for, you know, allowing him to sing an album that's already out there. Obviously, subject to the FEC regulations. So anyway, I don't think that we're going to see that. I think that's a whole bunch of do about nothing. Now, the lawsuit against the management company and label, that's a whole different story. And it has nothing to do with the lyrics of that song.
Justin Watkins, 766-1400 is the number. Reno's in. Got it, L775 in the north. I'm curious to see what comes out the next couple of weeks, if there are any more lawsuits. There's a lot of conspiracies going on right now. Later on, we're going to get to what's going on in Dallas with the basketball team. And then us getting an NBA team and arenas, and there's a whole conspiracy theory there.
Yeah, you guys didn't really flesh that out the other day, but it got me thinking, and I was like, I've got a conspiresy theory now. So I'm looking forward to
that. Was that when we were on Media Row? Well, one person wouldn't talk.
I know. But then so Griffin, my guy Griffin in here goes, okay, I've got the conspiracy theory. I thought he was going to go where my head was. And he was somewhere completely different. You guys never got to it. So I'm happy to get to that subject.
We have to get to it. Everyone in the NFL, all of them can't know. This is not the right way to say it. Someone with the NFL has to know Kendrick Lamar. Like that show can't be shocking.
Yes. So, agreed.
Right. So I think a lot of people are like, he did this and it was so, revolutionary, and revolution was mentioned. Like the NFL had no idea. He went rogue. I almost think that there are people around the NFL who are like, man, we kind of need this. Like whatever he's going to do, maybe we need this. Like there are some people who agree with him on what he was saying. I don't like this is it's on a grand scale. But I can't imagine an organization that big, that rich, with that many smart people are like, oh, no. No who way. Is this guy?
100% no. Right? Yeah, 100% no. Like, who? Even if it's like maybe the top management didn't really know in the lower management. But
no one tells Roger Goodell exactly. He has sung about over the years and some of his thoughts, and that it could get political and it could be a protest.
Right. Like, you're telling me that... some underling at the NFL is making the decision on the halftime Super Bowl performer. No way. Everybody's got to know. That's like, I have to believe that goes all the way up to the top. And I agree with you. Like, we are still talking about that, 4 days later. Good job. Mm-hmm. Whoever booked it, good job. Still talking about it.
Hey, if bottom line is making money and getting viewers.
Yep. Good job.
Got it. And they're going to make more down the road. Okay. Speaking of making money, but the worst way you can do it.
Yeah.
Not a great segue.
No, it's a perfect. Well, it's such a great segue.
I hope this is a lesson to people, especially, if you're in Vegas, you should know this happens. Maybe not to this degree, but we've got a band of criminals up on the strip and downtown, and many of them might be really, really doing this job, but I was going to say masquerading as prostitutes, right? Who a lot of their mission is, hey, let's get money and rob people, right? And on the ground in New Orleans, I hadn't really seen it much in years past, and maybe I just wasn't paying attention. I go there every October, and last October, we went during the week, and you know what the other problem is? I don't go to Bourbon Street when I go there, because I've been there, but I spent a lot more time on Bourbon Street, and I noticed from about 9 o'clock on, the crowds were a little lighter, and it was just groups of two and three women, and a couple of the nights, the SO went to sleep early, and I'm like, I want to walk around Bourbon Street. And I had women coming up to me all the time, like, hey, what's going on? And I'm like, okay, hookers, right? Like, I know that. Yeah. Like, I know that. I know I'm not hot, so it's not there's not some random lady coming up to me like, hey, let's go.
Silver Fox.
Yeah, there you go. Well, unfortunately, a guy got picked up, or picked a lady up. He's dead.
Yeah, and there still needs to be a lot that comes out in this story, because
doesn't mean she did it.
It doesn't mean that he picked her up either necessarily.
Oh, good point. We have other stories coming up where it really wasn't a pickup.
Right. I mean,
it wasn't picked up by the guy.
Right. Just gets drugged at the bar, and then off they go, and he has no memory of any of this stuff, and gets robbed that way. So I would, especially with somebody who's passed away, I would lean hard against making any assumptions as to how that night transacted to that point until we get more evidence. The really unfortunate part about this is going on a lot, and the enforcement about it is really, really weak at the moment.
You're right. I'm glad you made that correction before we continue. We're going to take a break. This doesn't necessarily mean guys are, hey, I want a hooker. And then they get the worst result out of it. This actually sounds like it could be an organized deal where there's multiple people involved, not just the front person, the prostitute.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Battle Born Broadcast Center.
I'm just getting more affirmation that media piece is very likely to come first. Like, everybody thinks it's going to come first, because the media companies have told the Pac-12, it doesn't matter who you add, school 8, school 9, is it UNLV, is it Texas State, is it Memphis, Tulane, Nevada, Air Force, doesn't matter. These are interchangeable. This points toward a media deal first, then followed shortly after with an expansion announcement.
That's John Canzano, who's who's an Oregon-based reporter, podcaster. We'll get to what he was saying there about the latest updates with Pac-12 and Mountain West Conference in just a couple minutes. We go really fast on the show sometimes to the service of the listeners. So Justin Watkins, Alex White, Cofield here. We were starting to get into some of the legal issues with a media dude from Kansas City, from Telemundo, 27 years old. He was found dead in his room in New Orleans, Super Bowl week. There was a prostitute who has a record of robbing people, using their credit cards, who they have walking out of his room. She has a history of drugging people as well. Well, he's dead. And I think a lot of people assume, while they feel sorry for him, they're like, well, he was trying to get a hooker, man. That's, you know, bad move. But the more we're finding out about this lady, she's been here. She's done this for years, repeatedly, with almost no penalty, in New Orleans. Another dude told a story of being at a bar, drinking something, then feeling woozy, then getting shoved out to the street, and there's a car waiting for him. This sounds like kind of a ring. Now, this time she may not have had a big organization working it, but there's a lot to the story. And from a legal standpoint, obviously the police have to finish their investigation.
Yeah, and I would say, like, she basically had no repercussions. I mean, we've got five prior arrests for something similar in nature, you know, stealing either cash or jewelry or credit cards and charging things up, drugging, maybe drugging, sometimes drugging or not. And she got probation and had to pay restitution. And I think the number is like $134,000, but she's never paid a penny of it. And she's never served a day in jail.
Wow.
And so this is spread out over the course of 9 years that this has been going on. Five arrests in multiple states over the course of 9 years. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of times people read the situation exactly like you read it. It's like, oh, dude, got his $30,000 Rolex watch stolen? Well, don't hire a prostitute. See you later. You know, like, move on to the next one. But there are some really disturbing facts. And the latest case in which she was not sent to prison or given any jail time, the guy showed up and did a victim impact statement and described exactly the situation you're talking about. I went to a bar. She asked me if I wanted a drink. I said yes. I turned around, you know, to watch the music or whatever. I take a drink. Immediately, I feel woozy. She says, do you want me to help you out? I say, okay. And we walk out right to an SUV, a black SUV that's standing right outside. We go in, and I don't remember a thing since that time. You know, from his perspective, he had no intention. And you got to also remember, not everybody's as savvy as we are in Las Vegas about exactly what a prostitute, you know, looks like, how they hang out. He may have no idea that she was a prostitute and just thought somebody wanted to buy him a drink. I don't know. So it's not always sort of situations where it's like kind of a victimless crime or there's dirty hands on both sides, so we all just look the other way. It may be that way. It can be that way, but I think it's just a little bit dangerous to assume it's that way.
Do I describe her? She's 48, and I'll say bulky. There are some pictures of her. Like, you might just think she's like the nice, you know, middle-aged lady. I don't think that's the case. Like I said, you're right. We're more savvy, but I'm an idiot. This could happen to me. So, because when you are out in Vegas and in New Orleans and places like that, you can get drugged.
Yeah. Oh yes, of course.
That part of it, that could happen to anyone.
Yep. It's like, don't leave your drink on the bar, right? Like, yep. Keep your hands on it at all times. You know, keep your hands over it if you can hold it. You know, it's just, yeah, it's scary out there, and I know that there is, you know, discussions about stricter enforcement, at least here in Nevada and on the Strip. You know, our whole livelihoods here in the state of Nevada depends upon the public's perception of their safety in coming here and doing the things that they want to do. And if that perception it wanes, we all suffer.
Yep. And that's not good for New Orleans. Like I said, I go every year, and I remember having a conversation with someone else at a. Well, I don't know why I said someone else. I have a regular bar that I like to go to. And I'll mention the name of the place. It is gritty, it is dirty, it is old, right? It's called the Three-Legged Dog. And it is a mix of locals and some tourists. I was talking to another local who said they've had horrible times there getting their drinks, drugged.
Yeah.
Did I go back three times on this trip? Yes. Was I paying attention the whole time? Mostly. But
I mean, when you start drinking, you obviously
you start to, you know,
lose attention.
Lose a little bit of the attention. I stick with beer, but you know, you never know. So people just have to be aware. But yeah, from a perception standpoint, this is not a good story for this guy. This ain't funny. And then the justice system has got to back it up. These are serious crimes.
For
like,
sure.
What if she did drug him to death? Like this, she finally had to do it. I mean, six times she got caught mm-hmm. in two different places. She got caught here, I think, twice in 2022. We got multiple jurisdictions. She's got to get caught six times and probably after doing it 500 times.
Yep.
And someone has to die. And then we're like, oh, okay, now we're going to penalize her.
Right.
And yeah. Or them, whoever, if this was an organized ring.
I'm with you 100%. And especially as a Vegas local, like, I want to see stricter enforcement of this. And there's a whole conversation about sex workers and you know, legalization of that. Does that eliminate all the seedy elements of these kinds of things? I don't know. I don't know if this person's even a sex worker. She might just be posing as a sex worker and then using it as a basis to drug all these people and rob them. I don't know. But it's a super disturbing story. You know, sucks for the family. Of the kid, I'll say kid, 27 years old kid. So you know, hopefully we get to the bottom of the story, and if she's responsible for his death, that she's punished accordingly.
We heard the comments coming back of John Canzano, media guy, on what's going on, the latest with the Pac-12 TV deal expansion, and he said the TV deal is going to get done, then they will expand. That's what his sources say. Now, we know his sources. He's pretty tied in with Oregon State. He said he had multiple sources who said this. Do you feel like this is – I know this has become – this is like your drug of choice up on social media.
It's the worst.
And we've already said,
I'm the worst.
Don't do it. I've shut it down. I'll retweet something. And, like, my job is to pay attention to this. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. If the same guy in Oregon reports that Texas State is coming this week.
Yep.
It's been 22 reports. It hasn't happened.
I know. No, I don't love it. I hate it. I hate that I pay attention to it. It's like I have such a good relationship with social media on every other front other than what has happened to the Pac-12 and Oregon State. It drives me crazy that I'm in that position. But I'll just say this. Canzano has been pretty consistent in that reporting that you're going to see a media deal like the first week of March, right at the beginning of March Madness, whatever that sort of looks like. He's been consistent that UNLV is in play. I would love that. That I think is the best move. I know he continues to say that the media says that there's no difference between any of the schools that are in the running between Memphis, Tulane, UNLV, and Texas State, and maybe a handful of others. I don't know if that is being fed out to the media to get, you know, those four playing a little bit more.
So UNLV needs to believe that Tulane and Memphis are more valuable or as valuable. It's kind of a regional element to it. There's a little more value in UNLV regional.
Well, I don't think that works against UNLV. Right. I think that's a leverage point for Memphis and Tulane. You're not as valuable as you think you are.
Okay.
So if you're trying to ask for more, then, you know, we'll just go with UNLV and Texas State because they're here locally and it's you know, it's a better pickup for us regionally. I don't know. I don't know if they're just going to do one and then do a couple others. I would love to see UNLV, and then I would love to see an Eastern swing out to Memphis, Tulane, USF, and like ECU or Texas school. Maybe it's Texas State. I don't know. It's got a big alumni base and they got a bunch of money. So any Texas school can do something. And then I would love to see some sort of merger, not with the Mountain West, but with the Big East, and just try to dominate basketball and then be the clear next best option in football after the Power Four.
I don't love that, but we can go through that another day. Justin Watkins is here, former public servant, big sports fan, our legal insider, Alex White as well, Battleborn Broadcast Center. But I'm dying to get to this Dallas story. But before that, I do want you to hear what John Canzano said about UNLV and how the Pac-12 looks at UNLV and Vegas as a positive.
UNLV, you know, look, you're getting Vegas. You're getting a school that is being viewed by the rest of the Mountain West Conference as, gosh, that's going to be the team to beat in the Mountain West Conference if they stay put. And in fact, I talked to one of the other coaches in the Mountain West who said he's kind of secretly and selfishly rooting for UNLV to end up in the Pac-12 because he says it would make my life easier. And he says better for the Mountain West if they stayed, better for me if they go. So I think there's a viewpoint that UNLV, even though they have financial struggles, they've got an NFL stadium, they've got Vegas, where, you know, emerging sports market keeps you regional, best of the West. And, you know, then I'll also pair in, you know, you wouldn't take Nevada without UNLV, but if it's Nevada and UNLV, now you're really regional. You got a travel partner there. And certainly, you know, Nevada does not have the shine that UNLV has, but you're adding a basketball school to that stable of basketball schools that really make this conference, you know, promising.
We got 20 seconds left. I'll just say, am I a bad Las Vegan that I'm as excited that Nevada could be in this? I think the whole state of Nevada should benefit.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, from a Pac-12 standpoint, I don't want anything to do with Nevada. But from a Nevadan standpoint, I want them both to go, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's, if possible, hopefully the funding at both schools for athletics can be solved a little better situation.
Now back to Justin Watkins with Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Like I say all the time, for this show, we need an attorney. We have multiple during the week because there's too many stories where I'm like, I don't know. Like, also the legal stuff around NIL, transfer portal, pay, the realignment, if I already said that. I don't know what's going on. So Department of Education, I know what's going on. We need experts on that. Department of Education has officially rescinded the NIL-related Title IX guidance. So what happened here?
So right before Biden left office, the Department of Education came out and said, hey, if you bring NIL in-house, like according to the House settlement that's going to seek final approval in April, then Title IX applies and NIL must be evenly distributed or equally distributed amongst females and male sports and athletes. So, you know, it didn't have a lot of teeth, obviously. It came out like, I think literally like 2 days before Biden left office, and it was like kind of a memo. It wasn't any administrative code or anything like that. So it didn't really have a lot of teeth. And so most legal experts said Trump's going to get in. The reason why they did it is because they know there's going to be a regime change. When there is, you know, it's probably going to get rescinded. And that's what happened. It got rescinded. But what I would say on that is that doesn't mean you're free and clear of any Title IX violations. It just means the Department of Education doesn't believe it's a Title IX violation.
What?
So
Department of what?
Yeah, right? What department? Yeah.
That has no teeth.
But yes, the Department of Education is the enforcement arm of Title IX, but you can go to court with a Title IX dispute. You don't have to, you know, notify the Department of Education, let them do an investigation. You could go right to court and say they're violating my Title IX rights. And for sure that's going to happen. Like, for sure. And the only way that doesn't happen is if there's congressional action that specifically, number one, gives the antitrust exemption, and then number two, exempts this from Title IX, which may happen prior to any schools actually instituting the changes. But man, these schools are all moving forward as if the House settlement is going to get approved no matter what. And that has not happened. There's tons of objectors there. And then number two, congressional action is going to come into place before any lawsuits come out. I mean, we talked about this a number of different times. The NCAA is over on antitrust since O'Bannon filed his lawsuit. I mean, any challenges they have lost, with the exception, I did see there was a different ruling from a different district court judge as to D2 and D3 eligibility and whether that applies to your D1 5 years. But they're both being appealed, so we'll see what ultimately that comes out to be. But they don't have a great track record, and they're putting themselves, again, in a position to get absolutely smoked in court. And I really don't understand how if you're an AD or you're a president of an institution right now, you're saying, yeah, let's just institute the changes. We know it's all going to go forward. That's what they're all doing. I don't get it. I don't get it.
In a weird way, does football and men's college basketball almost need Title IX and some sort of rule that would knock them down a little bit? Like, help them help themselves with whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, regulate it so that they have to do, like, because it is a runaway train on the other side with the money and right now no cap.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. But, I mean,
like, you have to give some of the money to the women. You can't have a $20 million cap for your football program and then spend another, you know, $22 million for the Ohio State coaching staff.
I know. But how much should people pay for professors and, you know, say, musical directors, and the musicians make up this music and they get paid? And, you know, the libertarian in me says, like, I don't like that. And, you know, it'll work itself out. It's going to be a clumsy couple of years, but it'll work itself out in the end.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar and Grill, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
We're heading towards the Kevin Kruger radio show at 6 o'clock right here on ESPN Las Vegas. ESPN Reno is in. Justin Watkins, our legal insider, voice of reason, former public servant, Alex White, is here as well. I want to get to some betting here in just a second. But first up, okay, Dallas trades Luka. The fans are irate. Last week we talked about them carrying coffins, I guess, repping the organization around at a protest. Threats are thrown, apparently, death threats, at the GM. Now, at home games, fans are chanting different things. It doesn't sound vulgar, and they're just walking up and get out. They're tossing fans.
Yeah.
The fans have no rights?
Correct.
Come on. There's no base level?
No.
Okay, the guy's name is Nico. If I do like a Daryl Strawberry, remember?
Yeah.
If I go, Nico, get out!
Yep.
You're mocking them. Wait a second.
For sure. Yes, of course.
Come on.
The only thing that would ever get them in trouble is if they were disproportionately affecting a protected class. So if they were kicking out people who are black, so ethnicity, race, sex, religion, national origin, you know, if the only people being kicked out were of Czechoslovakian descent, and then they could have a claim, right? But they're still going to get out. You don't have a right to be there. It is somebody else's property, and they have the right to ask you to leave for any reason or no reason at all. They could just come up and ask you to leave. So, yeah, it drives me crazy. Like, the patience that security and police show in these situations where there's, like, you know, you send me a video, the guy's like, I have not violated any of the NBA code of conduct. And, like, the police officer's like, were you asked to leave? He's like, no. Mavericks guy's right there. He goes, I'm asking you to leave. And he's like, then that's it. You got to go. It's either I handcuff you and you go, or you go. You've been asked to leave. That's the end of the conversation. So
God love them. You know, Adelson's, they're great. And good faith, you can't buy a ticket.
Yeah.
You can't buy a ticket to a Dallas Mavericks home game.
So can we talk about conspiracy theories?
Not only at a protest, yes, but you don't know if, I don't know, I mean, across the court, like Neaton, whatever his name is, this Nico guy, the GM, could see someone in the third row, like, that person's staring at me. I don't like that. Get him out. Like, I wasn't looking at him. There's a hot chick behind him.
So I don't know if this is what you were getting to, but I'm gonna dive right in, right?
Because I already you already shut this one down. You're like, fans have no rights.
Yeah,
I've told you this 50 times.
Yeah, nor should they have rights.
Oh, stop!
Fans are a-holes. All right,
a chance. Come on.
Yeah. Well. Anyway.
Mavericks suck. Get out.
Yep. Get out. It's Mavericks game. Mavericks only rule here. You know, like
you have the person said in one of the comments, it feels like North Korea here.
It is. It's not a public forum. It's a private event.
Okay. Conspiracies.
Yeah. Conspiracies. Okay. So I wonder when you're sitting there going, and the GM's getting death threats. I'm like, really? Or are they spinning a story to further alienate the people of Dallas so that the team can be relocated from Dallas to Vegas. What do you mean? That's the only part I can understand. When you guys are saying that there's a conspiracy, I'm like, what conspiracy could there be? Oh, they're alienating Dallas. They're making they're creating a situation where it's no longer safe for us to be here. It's dangerous. They don't support us. We want to move to Vegas.
That's pretty good.
Is it pretty good, Alex?
I don't know.
They didn't trade Luka because they think his conditioning is bad and he doesn't play enough defense, right?
I agree with you. There's other reasons.
Alex is with me. Get on board with the conspiracy theory, Steve.
We don't need them to move here.
I agree.
We're getting a team, and it might be in the next 3 days.
You think so? Is that your prediction? Make a prediction. Stand by it.
We're getting an expansion team eventually.
Well,
so
you
would I rather have an established NBA franchise with this market and what we've seen here, we're probably better off.
Right.
And then if they want to take they're not moving Dallas. It's got this, first of all, it's a gigantic market. There's lots of money there. They've had some success as an organization. They're not moving them.
Yeah. Well, then what was all that conspiracy theory you're trying to tease out of Adam?
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out. No, the other thing we've heard, which I think is ridiculous, is that they went in there, they bought that team to get in a prime position to get gambling licensed, and they want to be the first ones on the ground.
Okay.
It hasn't worked out to this point.
Right.
So this was like revenge. Like, we're going to ruin this basketball team because you did this to us, which also makes no sense.
Mine makes way more sense than that.
Why devalue the organization by getting rid of the best player to stick it to Texas?
Yeah, mine makes more sense than that one. That one's even worse. So I'm going to devalue my asset.
I agree. I don't buy that one either.
I'm going to drink the poison to kill you. You know, that's what that is. That doesn't make any sense to me. So, I'm going to go on board with mine, but I agree with you. There's no way they're going to move out of Dallas. But if they were like, hey, the Adelsons want to move this to Vegas, you know, the market has not worked out for them. We're giving Dallas an expansion team. But you got to remember, as I recall, Seattle.
The market. Can the NBA look anyone in the face like the market hasn't worked out for them?
No. From their business adventures. But so from the gaming side of things, why they're here. They want to move back to.
A handshake agreement with the Adelsons and Adam Silver? Like, hey, if the gambling thing doesn't work out, we'll give you a team.
Yeah, but there's also nothing that, as far as I'm aware, that dictates that an owner must keep a team in the same place. If they own the team, they want to move they can go through the process, right?
We've gone through 25 years of Seattle,
that's what I was going to say. You got to remember that if there is an expansion, the first right goes to Seattle. That was dictated. So they have the first right. So if we're getting a team, that means two. There's two expansions at least. Seattle has first right.
You brought up the betting, right? And don't they want a casino there as well?
Yeah. They legalized gambling and they wanted to be the first boots on the ground and probably get a head start on everyone else. Licenses don't have to be granted quickly. Yeah. They could get a 2-year head start.
Alex might move to Dallas. Yeah, are you watch Landman? She's going to be like the Queen of Dallas over there in the betting market.
I watched Landman, thanks to CT and Steve. I felt very left out. They were having an intense conversation about it.
I'm on the final two episodes, so don't ruin it for me, but I love that show.
Do you laugh?
I laughed a ton.
Okay, I didn't laugh that much, and I was awoken on a UNLV flight by Curtis Terry, just cackling. I was out cold. She's I'm like, what are you watching? That's so funny. Landman. I'm like,
The mom and the daughter, they get me laughing. It's like, dude, come on. Yeah, I can just laugh just thinking about their scenes right now. They just wake up and like, let's go start something. Yeah. You know, like, let's go get in something. It's hilarious because I could never live in that world, but it's funny to watch.
Well, and his dry humor, of course, and the one-liners to them.
Yes.
Is really.
Taylor Sheridan shows are, I'll say, not for everyone. If you're like a hardcore junkie of storylines and consistency and really good acting, get out. You have no shot.
I don't know.
Yellowstone, same thing. I mean, there's goofball angles within those shows.
Yeah. I mean, I think Yellowstone, to me, jumped the shark. It went over the top with the amount of like violence and death and gang war and all. It just got so far from believable that it just became, to me, hard to watch.
How about... Well, I think I was going to say end the show when Costner says no, or be patient, tell the TV people they got to wait, which I know is difficult because apparently that's how the split happened, because Taylor Sheridan I think that's his name, right? Yeah. It's like, hey, I have to get the show on. And Costner's like, I already have another project. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll just kill you and then write this ridiculous last season. And I think a lot of people liked it, but...
I didn't watch the last season, but
it got goofy as it went along.
I was out the season before that, actually. It became a novella, man. I mean, that thing was so over the top. It was like, As the World Turns. It's, I want some believability in there.
The Landman never jumped the shark within the season.
Not for me.
Oh, you're still going. That's right. Okay.
Maybe.
No, it doesn't.
You ruin it. No. Yeah, the last two episodes are the worst episodes. Oh, great. That's what I was looking forward to tonight.
I'm not going
to
ruin it, but it gets darker, and that's why I was like at the end when Curtis Harry is laughing his rear end off, and I'm like, what is he laughing at? But I forgot the beginning is kind of...
Dude, yeah, the ex-wife and the daughter are just too much. They're just too much. They might be beyond believability, but yeah. I believe that those characters exist out in the world. And they make me laugh.
Gambling front, did you see the person who posted a ticket with Jahan Dotson?
We were talking about that.
Big number, like 45-1.
Yeah, we were talking about that. My buddy when we were watching the game, he's like, dude, it's just gonna be a matter of time. Somebody's gonna post a ticket having Dotson as the first touchdown. And he's like, I wonder what the odds are. And he's just dying. Cause in real time, it looked like he clearly got in. They slowed it down, I was like, dang, he wasn't even close. But I thought for sure he was in. And that's a killer.
Well, my dad actually read an article. It might have been that person, but he gave that out. He thought there was good value on that. And my dad said he was about to bet it and forgot. So he was watching the game and he's like, oh my gosh, there's no way. And then they called it back.
Yeah.
So he's actually kind of happy.
Yeah. By the way, 90-1, not 45-1. I said 45, 90-1. Yeah.
Yeah. $50 for $4,500. Yep.
That was the ticket that was put out there.
That's awesome. I mean, that sucks. He put it out there. He said, like, still hurts 48 hours later. That one's going to hurt forever. That's an all-timer.
Did you hear the beginning of the show with America's Best Female Handicapper, Alex White, second place in the Circuit Invitational? She had Cooper DeJean interception.
Yep.
I heard that. I heard that on my way in. You know, I should have already been here. This is where I work, but I was not. I heard it on the way in. I heard all the research that goes into it. So, like, you know, Alex is my... financial advisor for all betting.
Right?
All betting, but I don't bet anything more than $50. So I think it's gonna take me a long time to accumulate wealth that
she
way.
She only bet 25 on the 9-1 ticket.
That's great. She's a pro.
She's a long shot.
She I don't think she goes out and spends the money like a wild woman either. So she's probably got 9 Cadillacs at home. Right, something like that. That's very Vegas-y, the Cadillac and
Dallas. She's ready to go to Dallas.
Okay, Super Bowl 60. Did you look at the odds?
No.
So they're on the rundown. I just wanted to find some crazy value plays. And this is, I like to point out spec opportunities, right? I think there's some value because I want something lower than 20-1. So I have the Rams at 28-1, Cardinals at 55-1. They were 3-5 in one score games and they cross over. That's not right. I got to look at their crossover. I put it as NFC South, but they're in the same conference. And I have a Steelers, 66-1. I'm just kind of curious what the Steelers might do at quarterback. They're a good team.
They are a good team.
I don't know what the solution is. Maybe they get Sam Darnold. Maybe they spend money on someone and that person excels.
It's the best solution I've heard yet. Instead of going to Aaron Rodgers or keeping one of them.
Okay, we talked Aaron. You know what? We'll save it. Yeah. Do you see anything on the list that's... Further down?
I mean, I'm surprised that the Broncos are above the Chargers, but I do actually think the Broncos have a real shot to be super dangerous next year. So that's only 28-1. I would have thought you would got better value at that, but clearly...
Shop the numbers. These are this is one book offshore.
Yeah. I mean, I hate the Broncos as an organization, but I do like their team going into next year. And so, you know, I wouldn't take it at 28-1, but you start getting me into like the 35, 33 area, I'd take that.
Anyone?
I do like the Chargers at 33-1. I mean, they have the quarterback. They're going to go out and get the weapons. And
I can never bet teams, the Chargers.
Both, yeah.
It's the worst.
Everybody
was a long-standing Chargers fan.
Yeah, it's the worst. You can't do it.
Hey, congrats on Antonio Gates.
Yes.
That's your era. That should make you happy.
It did make me happy.
I saw people were like, Antonio Gates? Yeah, Antonio Gates.
Oh, and while we're on the topic, can everybody stop with this Eli Manning should have been surefire Hall of Famer? Like, it's... Dude, he shouldn't even be in the Hall of Fame. He has never led a stat for a single season in his entire career except one. Interceptions 3 times. Never a top 10 quarterback in any one given season of his career. And he's a Hall of Famer? Get out of here with that.
They sent, when they did the voting, he didn't make it to like the next round. He didn't even get close. So they sent a resounding message, at least on being a first-year, first-time-around Hall of Famer.